All right, fighters, today I want to introduce you to April Hall of the SRC Summit. She puts on a massive roofing industry conference each year down in Dallas, Texas, and we have a conversation about everything from just consistency in marketing to her days as a roofing contractor, business she started when she was in college, to a little bit of history of SRC Summit conference as a whole. We get into door knocking and some of those other things. And I think you'll enjoy this conversation with April Hall. Do us a favor, give her a follow in the show notes, you know, on Instagram, and check out the event website. And if you can make it here at the end of January, down to the event, I'm sure you'll pick up some good stuff to help your business. If you're a general contractor, remodeling contractor, anyone doing roofs, probably be a good idea for you to be in the room there. So appreciate y'all. And without further ado, here's April Hall. April, welcome to the Contractor Fight. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Tom.
Well, every time I open Instagram, I see something about you and your SRC Summit. And I'm like, we got to get you on here because it looks like you're doing some big things in the contracting space. You've been doing it for a while. And yes, we're always trying to just put things on the radar of our audience here. We got tons of contractors all over the country that tune in here every week, and appreciate you carving out the time to do it. We're beyond our technical issues, hopefully. We had some.
And it happens, right?
Yeah, here I invite you to come on the show, and we've done this close to 1,000 times and nothing works. So, but I promise you, we've done this before. Well, cool. For those that don't know April Hall, what do we need to know?
Well, I work with all types of roofing contractors from all over the United States, and I bring them together for learning, networking, fun, you know, stay on top of what's happening in the industry. So I do events throughout the year. My large event that I do once per year is the SRC Summit. So it's an annual one, and it has a full vendor trade show, over 40 different industry expert speakers, a full day of specialized breakout sessions. So it's the big one. It's coming up quick.
It's the big one. And you said you do other events throughout the year. How many do you do?
Yes, about 3 or 4 different specialized one-day trainings.
Gotcha. Are they all in Texas?
Yes, it's a good hub. I mean, people fly in here from everywhere. You can get to DFW pretty easy.
Yeah, now SRC is in, is this Dallas?
Yes, just north of Dallas.
Just north of Dallas. So how many years have you been doing this now?
So I actually created this one back in 2013. So it's been 10 years.
10 years. So wow.
Yeah. At the time, there was really no standardized training for roofing contractors. So before that, 2011, I kicked off the first insurance restoration sales training with my business partner and launched it here in Dallas. And then just saw a very big need as contractors started flying in from all over after just 4 months of doing it. So I started to scale the company, and I saw other needs and really, you know, hot button issues, pain points, and came up with a conference for the storm restoration industry back in 2013. So it was really the first one of its kind started.
So what were you doing before this?
Before that, so I grew up in construction. So my family does custom built homes. So that's just what I was used to. You know, roofing was an easy transition for me. I bet my business partner actually posted something earlier on Facebook about it, kind of my journey. But in college, I opened up my first roofing and construction company.
While you were in college?
Yes, while I was in college. I saw my first hailstorm from my dorm room.
And how many roofs were you doing a year while you were a college student?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was getting close to graduate at that time. So I ended up getting a house right after that and then started the company. So recruited, you know, all my college friends to knock doors and dominated neighborhoods and did that for a few years. got back into home building for a while, and I've always loved the roofing industry. It's a great industry. And when I started to look at the needs of it back in, 2011, there just wasn't any standardized training. So we created it, and just I've really been doing that ever since.
That's pretty cool. So what was your, went in that last year of school or however long it was you were doing the business and school, what was your average day like?
By the time, oh gosh, I went down to like part-time because I only needed a little bit more to graduate. And so I actually had opened up a company. I was in Oklahoma at the time. We opened up a second location while I was in college in Omaha. So I was there for like a couple of days and I have to race back and go to a couple of classes, then race back. And honestly, I wanted to quit because we're making great money, right? But yeah. I don't quit things, I finish things. So graduated with a marketing degree not long after.
All right. This is getting better. See, we've never had a conversation. So my brain is turning now because I want to dig into a couple of these things. But so let's start with the event here real quick because I want to make sure people know about it. First, how has the event changed over the years as you've gotten better? I'm just curious, like what are things that you've done over the years to make it what it's become?
Well, the industry has changed, right? So when I started in this, I like actually learned how to measure a roof before EagleView, mm-hmm. right? So with all the different apps and technology and just the information that's out there, it's changed for the better. So when I started it, it was very different because, I started in the Dallas market and a lot of them were local for the first few months and they didn't want to share any information. So it was really hard to crack them out of their shells, but something magic happened when we had the network and things, people started talking to each other. And even if they're competitors in the same back door, they realized, you know what, we can actually learn from each other and help each other. And so fast forward, you start seeing all these different roofing groups, things online. You can literally ask any question, your competition will be like, hey, I did it this way. So things have gotten a lot better. As far as the event space, talking with contractors mostly on a daily basis, I like to design the SRC is really designed by contractors for contractors. So we cover some of those issues that are the main ones that contractors want to gain more knowledge on. So I'm always, changing it up a bit, bringing in new speakers, vendors, new things that, hot button topics, trends, et cetera. So
having ran your own roofing company and then you've been doing this for so long and stuff, I'm curious what your take is on where do you see most contractors miss the boat when they're building their businesses? What are some things that come to mind that you think is kind of low hanging fruit? Like, God, but if you just paid attention to this,
Well, lack of training and implementing, right? Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of contractors who have been in the business for a short time and they're working for a contractor and they say, oh, wow, I can make a lot of money doing it myself. And they don't go and they get the necessary business training. And now they've created a job for themselves. And so they're doing less roofs, more headache. And so the training is essential and crucial to, have a long lasting business, I believe.
So training for the owner and then training for the people, for the employees as well. So what do you tell that newer roofer or contractor who knows this intellectually? They get the fact that I got to train my people and stuff.
Yeah.
But they're newer, the money isn't flowing as much, but you still have to do training, right?
You got to invest in yourself, right? Yeah. If somebody said I can't afford it, then you should be there. Put it on a credit card, do whatever it takes to make sure you don't make mistakes, because mistakes are a lot more costly in the end if you learn how to do something the right way versus the wrong way. So we talk about that at SRC Summit too. Mm-hmm. So I have a $500 million commercial panel, some of the top contractors in the United States. They're going to tell you some things that they made mistakes on. That's equally mm-hmm. important to learn versus, what to do is versus what not to do versus what to do. So.
Yeah, I tell a story in my book, Winning the Contractor Fight, of one of my, I'm a former painting contractor, and my first big for me job that I ever did, I thought I was going to be a millionaire in a week. It was one of those things because I was young, I was brand new to business. And there was this project that I sold this guy for 28 grand. Mm-hmm. And in the painting world, that's a pretty decent average job size, right? And the job cost me $45,000 to do it.
Ouch. See, so, that's a lesson learned, huh?
Yeah. So basically what that means is if it cost me $45,000 to do it, I should have been charging $90,000 to $100,000 to the customer. And so I painted this guy's house for 28 grand and basically he only threw in 17 grand of that, right? So it's a, when all said or 28 grand and I threw in the additional 17 to produce it. And I think it cost me a lot more than that. But back to your point of the mistakes are much more costly, right, than the actual training would have been. Had I gotten some business training, understood about my numbers, and some of those things and how to truly price and estimate a job and might not have gotten the job. And that would have been just okay because on the other end of that job, it was a big headache. So that cost me a lot more than some coaching would have. All right, marketing degree. Mm-hmm. This is the time of year in the trades depending on where people are located, especially if it's, you know, if there's weather, you know, shitty weather, where in our community, we start getting tons of messages in our Facebook groups, thousands of messages a month going, hey, what are you all doing for leads right now? You know, and one of the big things that I'm always screaming at people at on this show is you can never take your foot off building your brand and marketing your business. That's a 365 day a year thing, just like recruiting is, I believe, as well. You do a great job marketing your events. I know you got your marketing degree, 10 years under your belt with this one event and all these other events through the years, being your own, having your own business. What can you share that might be helpful on the marketing front for contractors listening to this?
Marketing, same thing with everything. You can never stop learning, right? If I were just to go back on what I learned in college with my marketing degree, it'd be obsolete because of social media, right? Everything has changed. The way that we do business online has changed. Google's changed. So it's always, you know, get the best training, but constantly be out there. Don't just market when you are doing something weather permitting. Always have something out there like, hey, we do this. Get ready for winter. Get ready for, you know, something that's constant presence.
Yeah, it's that consistency over time that's going to compound in the right direction and help you scale and build the business that you want to build, you know?
Share past projects when you don't have anything going on and you're trying to get business after the snow melt, you know?
Making more money as a contractor starts with raising your gross profit. You can sell millions, but if you are not keeping enough of that money, you're screwed. Head to thecontractorfight.com/50 and download our 50% gross profit worksheet. We'll show you how to bid your projects at a 50% gross profit so you're not undercharging for the high value that you bring to your clients. You want to make more money? Download the worksheet at thecontractorfight.com/50 today. All right. I know you mentioned this. You hired your college friends to door knock for you. I got to talk about door knocking. Many years ago, I hired a bunch of college dudes in our area that I hired as canvassers. Now, to be fair, I didn't know what I was doing with door knocking. Okay, so I'm just going to lay that out there. I just figured, hey, we're in all these neighborhoods and these houses need painting and all this other stuff. And I'd put them out there in, and I think at its peak, I think I had 5 or 6 college guys. So I went to a local college football coach. And I just said, hey, if any of your guys that are really high character dudes, you know, that you can think of, I'd love to hire them and all this. And he had a list of guys and I hired these guys. The results were awful, you know, and I own that 100%. Yeah. That was on me 100%. However, in the trades in general, you really only hear about door knocking when it comes to roofing and solar and like alarms and things like that. Is this just not a marketing tactic that's going to be successful in other trades? Or do you think this could be a universal thing that can move the needle for a business? I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Well, there's other companies that door knock. I mean, there's a lot of pest control that door knock.
Yeah, I forgot them too. Yep.
Yeah, any type of home services you can use for it. Not everybody likes to do it. It's not easy, right? Mm-hmm. You can't control somebody's going to open their door or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's very, very effective. So if you can get in front of somebody and you're talking with a decision maker and you're face to face, they can see a real person there. So, you know, it's a great thing, but most people are really, you know, wanting to get away from that, they really need to utilize Google. They need to use social media. They need to do targeted ads so people can come to them.
Yeah. I hired an alarm company probably a couple of years ago, pest control company, a couple of years ago from door knocking. And the reason is he was very, very unique and different than anyone else that has ever knocked on my door. So he knocked on the door, young kid, probably 22, 23 years old. And he smiled, he had great energy. And he says, hey, I'm probably going to be the most annoying thing that happens to you today. That's how he started. And right then and there, I was giving him my attention because I was just like, all right, this is hilarious. And we had already been talking about pest control at the time, you know, like over the past couple months, but just never took any action on it. And so for somebody that's wanting to maybe look at that for their business, can you give us a crash course on maybe some do's and don'ts that you've learned through the years? Not that you're knocking doors anymore, but like,
no, I'm not. But this
you're in an industry.
You know what you want to say, right? You should probably have somewhat of a script, know what the type of objections you may get at the door and know how to answer them. So you're just not like opening the door and somebody says something and you go, oh, I don't know what to say, right?
Yeah.
So you practice a little bit. It's a conversation, right? You don't want to be scripted. You want to just be yourself and go out there and have a good personality. And you know, if it's pest control, if you're replacing somebody's roof, whatever it is, you're there to help, right?
Yeah.
You're there to offer a service, and some will, some won't. So what next, right?
I love that. That's right. So, all right, back to your, I'm asking these things because I know our audience and I know they're going to benefit from this. So I apologize for going back to when you were in college and had your business, but you hired these door knockers, you hired your friends. What do the metrics look like on that? You know, you knock 100 doors, you knock 1,000 doors. Like, I want to help set expectations for here, right? For people that you're going to hear no. You know, for our group, we heard no out of 100 times. We heard no and get out of my yard 98 times. Like, it was, you know, that's how bad we were at it. So I'm curious what kind of, when you're trained and you have the scripts and you're role playing and you're doing some of these things, what can it end up looking like?
Well, you'd have to knock a lot of doors, right? To get anybody to open it, to get anybody to say yes to whatever you're offering, a free inspection or whatever it may be. So, you know, back then, it's been a while, but I used to knock doors and I was just my personal self, right? And it's, honestly, it's a lot easier to open a door for a woman than it is a man. There's, you know, it's not as intimidating, especially if you're a woman and there's a guy at the door. That's just the way it is. I was just nice to people. We had a huge hailstorm. You know, I told them, you know, we were working in the neighborhood that I had signs everywhere, right? So said, hey, I'm with them. You know, they already saw the signs pulling up as we got further and further in the neighborhood. A lot of times they would just hand me their insurance paperwork. It was super easy for me.
There you go.
And then I hear people about having problems with them. I'm like, wow, it doesn't have to be that difficult, right? But it does take practice. It takes some time and you have to be dedicated. You have to knock a lot of doors.
Yeah, it's, and with the way marketing and social media and Google and all that's changed through the years, if you're building your brand properly, you're running targeted ads, now you're complementing all those other things as well, right? You're not just a stranger.
Coming to you, right? They're coming to you. You're not going to them. So
yeah, awesome. But I appreciate it.
Yeah, a combination of both is going to equal success.
Yeah, I appreciate you playing ball there, talking about the old days. So, all right. So the conference coming up, January 29th. I'm looking at your agenda now. It looks like you're kicking off on day one with a women's networking lunch and some things like that. Then in the next 3 days, you got just a barrage of really good stuff on the agenda here. Brag a little about what's coming up here and why somebody might want to head down to Dallas.
Travel day for most people. So we're going to open up the vendor doors at 2:30. The women's networking lunch is happening 12:30 to 1:45. So I like to bring more women into the industry, get to know them, help support one another. So we kick off with that so we can all meet each other right away and go into the vendor part. There's a welcome mixer, but the main event is Monday, Tuesday. That's the main stage. So if you go to the website, srcsummit.com, you check out the speakers. There's over 40 of them from the main stage and we cover so many different topics. There's a lot of contractors there who've had great success. They're there to give back. I love working with the speakers that I have on there now because they've had a great level of success and they want to give back, right? So the great thing about SRC is that all these speakers that you see there, you're not going to just see them on stage. They like to stick around. They like to go to the networking events. So you have the opportunity to actually go up and have conversations with them and ask them questions. I have networking every single night, Monday night. We have a big event around the corner from the Embassy Suites Convention Center. It's for all attendees, some vendors. And then Tuesday is the last day of the main event. So you'll see it keeps continuing with all those great speakers and panels. I even have a women's leadership panel. So I'm bringing more women into the industry. That night, I'm going to be doing something I've never done before for a networking hour. It's comedy hour. So I hired Reno Collier from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. So he's open for Larry Cable Guy so many times and he's going to be doing stand-up. So I like to laugh. I know other people like to laugh. It's just another opportunity to network and have fun. And then the last day, Wednesday, is breakouts and workshop. The first time I did a specific day for this, instead of having breakouts before the conference, at lunch, during conference, then taken away from main stage, I did a specific day and everybody loved it. Right. So I have probably 17 different things going on that day. and attendees can pick and choose what they want to go to. So it's really like an implementation day. So you can really hone in on your skills. You could take your notes from the 2 days of main stage. You could pick and choose your breakout sessions, and then you implement that, right? You want to go to a conference and get the most out of it. Pick what you want to learn. Be attentive, you know, get your notes and start taking that back and using what you learned.
Yeah, I'm looking at the breakouts. I mean, you got some great stuff here, from using movie quality videos to marketing on TikTok, you know, how to dominate using Google Maps. I mean, there's some secret sauce in there, I think, that that would benefit not just a roofer, but other contractors as well. And what does that look like? Do you have other, like remodeling contractors, GCs, things like that coming to this thing?
Yeah, so a lot of them, you know, people like to look at it as a roofing contractor. Well, all roofing contractors that I know are really GCs. They're doing roofing, they're doing siding, they're doing gutters, they're doing other things like windows, right? They're doing way more than the roof. So there's lots of trades that are involved. But yeah, there's just so many different things. It's just, it's like drinking from a fire hose with all the knowledge that you get at this event.
I love it. Okay, last question here, and then I'll ask you to just kind of share anything else that's on your mind that maybe feels important that we haven't jumped into. What do people, because we put events on in the Contractor Fight as well, and I kind of have my take on this, but I'm curious, what might surprise people about what it takes to put an event on like this?
Well, people show up and they see the event, right? It's like that picture of the iceberg, where you see the iceberg way below the water and all the stuff leading up to make it that big.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff that goes on to just put something on. Like, I mean, it takes months to put on, and the cost is atrocious. You know, before you start, like for this event, you know, you're already six figures in before you sell your first ticket or vendor. So they're expensive. It takes a lot to put together. There's a lot of moving pieces. For this particular one, I have over 50 speakers, over 50 vendors, and hundreds of attendees. So there's a lot of stuff that happened.
Yeah, I heard an interview with Grant Cardone a while back where he was talking about, even to this day, every time he runs an event, up until he takes the stage and sees people in the seats, freaking out the whole time, going, you know, because you're fronting all this money, all this money for the facility and the speakers and everything else and the meals or whatever you're doing, and you're holding your breath until those tickets are coming in, and it's
a different animal. Most people look at like, oh wow, you know, a lot of people who are in the industry are like, I've been doing this for so long, I could do an event, and they do, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is something that I really don't think that I want to do anymore. It's just a different animal. It's not an easy industry at all. I mean, it's probably, I've said this before, it's probably one of the toughest industries to be in, to do events.
Our events are not as big as this one. We have, and I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way, because it's just part of it. And I'm part of this problem when I speak at other events too. So I'm guilty of this too. But just from the speaker being, you know, roping in the speakers and having them get the info that you need back in a timely manner and all this, you spend a lot of time, you know, I guess you call herding cats. And try to get people roped in.
Yeah, they send you a presentation. Oh, wait, I need to change. I was like, okay, well, you just send it directly to my videographer.
Yeah.
Or I have a change on this. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's a lot.
There's always something.
But it's worth it, because, you know, the impact you're having on people and their families and their employees and their families and you know, your vendors. I mean, I know you got, I don't know if you call it a trade show or expo part of it or whatever, but I imagine you have, how many vendors are there?
It's over 50. I've got to look. This one, I was limited on this one for this particular venue, but I really, really liked the venue. So I was like, we're going to do this one. But it's great because there's a lot of people there. And like, as far as vendors, you know, you can go to some shows, like there's other ones and there's just hundreds of them you can never get through. Mm-hmm. They get a lot of value and high ROI, because the majority of people who go to this event, they're mostly owners and general managers. So they're all decision makers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to encourage people listening, if you go down to the event, spend some time with the vendors, because these are people that I guarantee you that April trusts to be there. You know, this is your name on this thing. This is your event. We don't ever want to put somebody on stage or somebody, you know, as a vendor that we don't align with values and stuff like that. And just like your business guys, your vendors are there to build their businesses as well and have great long-term relationships. And this is a great place to find really solid vendors that many of them, I'm sure, serve nationwide because you have contractors from the whole country coming in. What else?
Well,
you got the stage. The stage is yours. The bike is yours.
This is the busiest time of the year for me to get to the rest of the event. So it's coming up in a few days. So anybody listening, watching, wants to attend, hey, it's once per year. January 29th, it kicks off. 30th to 31st this month. January is the main stage. And then February 1st is breakout. So it's at srcsummit.com. And that stands for Storm Restoration Contractor. And so I'm looking forward to it. We've got some new stuff we're doing on stage. You know, I love the whole networking and meeting new people and seeing friends in the industry and hearing the testimonials and the stories that come from this of what everybody's learned and how it's helped them achieve business success and even personal success. So that's the reason why I do it.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. Well, I appreciate you carving out some time to make this happen. And glad that we connected. And
me too.
And we got an amazing, highly engaged contractor fight community that I'm sure there'll be several of them that are going to hit the website here and head down to Dallas and enjoy a few days with you and your team and all that stuff. So
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I hopefully you can be there too, if you can swing it with your schedule.
Sounds good. Yeah, guys. So go to srcsummit.com. Check it out. We'll put it in the show notes and follow April or SRC on Instagram. Is that what it is too?
It's at SRC Summit for Instagram. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Check it out and get after it. Keep getting better. And with that, guys, we appreciate you. Give us a show review. Hit the show notes. Check out the link for April's event. And we'll talk to you all next time on The Fight.
Thanks, Tom. See everybody later.